Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the show. Right off, I'd like to thank the One Institute for sponsoring us and bringing us here each and every week. Tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about what Dr. Allen does in her private practice and how it relates back to our seminars and classes we do. So let's jump in right away. I want to remind everybody of the call-in number, 323-203-0815. Dr. Allen, you're on the air, live.
I love it. Carrying the message.
Awesome. So, hey, listen, Dr. Allen, I get a lot of questions. I get a lot of emails. I get a lot of messages about private appointments. And I know you do office time private appointments face-to-face, but you also do telephone appointments, don't you?
Yes, absolutely. Telemedicine. When people want to hire us from out of my area, we send them papers that I got out of the Marriage Family Journal that helps them understand that telemedicine is in. Do you see what I mean?
It is. It really is.
Yes.
And it's...
Well, especially transactional analysis, because we're not digging into whether your mother loved you or didn't love you. We're dealing with communication. As I describe it, what TA does in my world, at least, is it gives me the opportunity to use the quantum mechanics of words to impact the quantum physics of energy. I love Einstein because he believed there's nothing but energy in the universe, and whatever's moving the fastest is the most invisible, and those are words, in your head especially. Beware of your words. Beware of your thoughts, because they become words. Beware of your words, because they become habits. The habits are intimidation, seduction, or negotiation. Beware of your habits, because that becomes your character, good guy, bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
Beware of your character, it becomes your destiny, scripted destiny. That means that you are now running your life based on other people's training of you, and that if you do not come to light about what they've taught you, that you are going to bummer out your life. So I work on radio, and I work on phone, and I work on face-to-face.
Plus, you have your monthly shows, which are fun and fantastic. So, Dr. Allen, your phone appointments, they start at 15 minutes, and then, except for your life script phones, and those are a full hour. Is that correct?
Yes, those are a full hour.
The life scripts are really amazing, and I know you really enjoy doing those.
Well, TA, especially, I want to recommend Claude Steiner, who was a protege of Eric Byrne. Claude Steiner wrote a book, Scripts People Live. We all have a script. Every culture has a script. Every religion has a script. Every company has a script. And that script can totally organize you into a good guy or a bad guy. So you read it to me, and I will comb through it to find out if there's anything in there that is not something you want, but you weren't aware of.
So how do you realign them with their thinking? You know, you have semantic realignment. Can you explain how that works?
Well, I have androgynous semantic realignment. We're all androgynous. You know, Caitlyn Jenner had a transformational sexual operation, but the truth is we're all female and we're all male. And some of us, like him, have surgeries to match it up. Mm-hmm. But lots of us simply learn, when am I speaking feminese and when am I speaking masculine? And that's what I do when I do an evaluation of your script. And then I teach you how to use your male and female communication system. And here's the questions I ask. Do you want to be respected for doing good and that feels good? Or do you want to feel good and see that as doing good? But if you want to be feel good and do good equally, you're a narcissist, and whoever relates to you is a zero. And that doesn't lend itself well for families or companies or cultures or businesses.
Certainly not. Certainly not. Our wonderful Ronan at the switchboard is telling me that we have calls coming in. Would you like to take some calls, Dr. Allen?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Then let me tell him we're ready to roll on that. And I know
he's calling LavishLifestyles Concierge.
All right. Okay, folks, if our switchboard calls you back, you may not recognize the number, but it's probably us. So make sure you pick up so we can take your question and interact with you. And so if you don't pick up, we won't get to. We don't like that. We'd like to.
Oh, caller. Hello.
Hi, you're on the air with Dr. Allen Live. Do you have a question?
I do. Yes. Hello, Dr. Allen. Hello, Kelly.
Hello.
Hi.
Well, here's my question. What are your thoughts on men going back on their word? Like if they say they're going to do something and then a few days later, they kind of just say, no, I'm not going to do it. And then they find excuses not to do it.
I want you to understand that every contract, every commitment is subject to renegotiation. Mm-hmm. They're not going back on their word. They're following their intuition. Men follow their intuition. Women follow their instinct. Instinct mm-hmm. is very, very glued to neurotransmitters, dopamine, serotonin, norepinephrine, where intuition mm-hmm. is based on minute pieces of data. Do you know that men have 21 genes attached to their sperm cells when they're fertile little eggs in mommy's tummy? And those
I do, but I know that from you.
I know that, but I got it from my CEU class. I have to go, and I'm going next week I'm going out of town to go to a 4-day training program. New Orleans is where I'm going with my mm-hmm. girlfriend, Marilyn Brown, who is also a transsexual analyst in Idaho and carrying the message. So the truth of the matter is, I don't think he's going back on his word. He's following his intuition. The only way you know you love yourself is by keeping your commitments, but your commitments broken is not when he says, I've changed my mind.
Well, does it matter, though? Like, for example, if he were to tell me that, okay, that's what I said and I want to do it this way, what if he doesn't say anything and then when the time comes for him to do what he said he would do, then he's just like, well, I don't think it's a good idea. What if it's, like, for example, the reason why I'm asking is because...
Passive-aggressive people make agreements, but they don't keep them. Now, are you
talking about renegotiating
an agreement, or are you talking about breaking an agreement?
I don't know. So here's the situation. Last week I called and I said that I wanted my boyfriend, I talked to my boyfriend about calling here, and last week he said, okay, I can't do it today because I'm busy, but next week I will. And then yesterday, I just wrote him a quick text saying, I just, you know, wanted to let you know that I really, really appreciate what you're doing, because I know it's a big thing for me. He said, oh, yes, about that. I don't see anything good coming out of it. I don't really understand what you want me to do in this situation. I don't understand what you want me to say when I call. I don't see the purpose for it.
Therefore, he reconsidered and told you. I don't hear that he broke it. He renegotiated it. He has a right to do that.
Got it. Okay.
You have a right.
Okay.
We women follow our feelings, our instinct. We say, oh, yeah, I'll do that. And then we go, oh, my God, I can't do that. Then we go back. We don't break the agreement, which is we just don't show up. But we tell them, you know, I want to talk to you about that agreement I need. I've been feeling some feelings about it, and they tell me not to do it. So I want you to know I really don't want to do such and such. What do you think about that? And then he'll tell you. He won't be happy. But if he negotiates and accepts you, you found a person who's willing to negotiate on a daily basis. He's not breaking an agreement. He's renegotiating it.
Okay, I see. But what happens if, for example, it's something that has a deadline, and then the deadline comes, and then nothing happens, and he doesn't bring it up until I bring it up?
No, wait a minute. That's a broken agreement. See, you're presenting me with renegotiated and broken. Broken agreements. Look, if he says, I'm going to pick you up at 5 to 5, at 5 to 5, he picks you up, he's kept it. At 5 after 5, he's broken it. But if at 4 minutes to 5, he calls up and says, I can't do it, I'm in a traffic thing, blah, 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 he's renegotiated it.
Okay.
Now, when a woman holds a man accountable based on her feelings, well, Pat Allen, you teach us women we're supposed to be cherished for our feelings. Well, I hate to mention it. Feelings are not orders. I don't feel good doing thus and so. So I've decided not to do it. Is you saying no based on your feelings. But when you say to a man, you promised that you would do this and so, and I feel bad if you don't do it. Well, that's fine. But then I would say to him, what's the price tag? What's the price tag for not keeping that agreement and renegotiating it? If it's a deal breaker, it's a deal breaker. Ladies, be careful that you don't take my words of cherish your feelings as you better be my daddy and you better cherish my feelings above your own thinking, because that's mommying.
Okay.
All right.
Got it.
Okay. Good luck.
Yes. Thank you.
Thanks, caller.
Welcome.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Okay.
That's a chronic problem.
Oh, is it?
Yes, because people love it when I say men cherish their feelings, you know, cherish a woman's feelings.
Oh, we've got a caller on.
Says, what?
We've got a caller on.
Okay, let's go with the caller.
Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen Live. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Thank you so much.
My question is,
well, this man has been dating me, about 5 times.
And that's good. Over 3 is better than nothing.
And he's from Argentina. At first I thought he was Persian. I guess he's part Italian, part Argentinian.
Okay.
And very nice and everything, but he can't really understand why I don't want to have casual sex.
I want you
I'm trying to explain
understand.
It.
I've talked about this in the past. Many cultures do not see sexuality as being unusual. It's like taken for granted. Now, that's that's a cultural script. That's a, you know, in our Judeo-Christian culture, religion, we tend to take it seriously more than, for example, countries outside of ours who don't take it. That's the way it is. So whoever is with you has got to either switch or maintain whatever program they want.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to go with the Judeo-Christian, no casual sex.
Yes, yeah, that's what I've learned from you. That's really
I
helped me a lot.
I understand that, but I didn't say that that's the only way to be sexual.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're with someone accustomed to being casual sexually, you can say, well, I require this, and if that doesn't work for you, we're incompatible.
Mm-hmm. So just say it like that.
Yes. It's just that every culture, every country, every religion has its own script.
Yeah. He was joking, but he sort of joked that I was using like sex as like a ransom or something, or intercourse, I wasn't meaning it like
where,
that.
That's where in France, I have women that go to France, very powerful women, because they want to be treated like sex people, not like executive women. You see? And in France, a woman is a woman is a woman. I don't care if she's running a country.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
So those are
very masculine. We have a good chemistry. You know, we seem compatible and communicate.
Right.
I did ask for a promise ring. And at first he thought it was funny, but now he keeps mentioning it, like joking.
Did you get it?
Get me one.
Did you get it?
Not yet. He's going on a trip, and then he says he's going to get me one. I don't know if he's joking.
Well, then I want you to know he's acquiescing, which is a wonderful word. It means I'm going to do something I wouldn't do if I was back home in Argentina. But this darling lady, I want her, and so this is no big deal. I will give her her promise ring. If she's happy wife, happy life. Okay?
Okay, great. Yeah, I guess I just get all tongue-tied when I try to say it. So if he does come back with one, and then what should I say?
What do you mean, he comes back with a promise ring? Say thank you.
Mm-hmm.
What are you asking of me? You've negotiated monogamy, continuity, and longevity, right?
No, we haven't negotiated anything.
Well, then how can you get a promise ring without promises?
Yeah, I guess I have to specify what it means.
Are you not going to be monogamous?
Yeah, I'd like to be monogamous.
Socially and sexually? See, a lot of men accept sexual monogamy because of disease. But social monogamy is when they promise they'll be sexually monogamous with you, but then they go back on the website and they portray themselves as single again.
Okay. So how should I see it?
Sexual and social?
Yeah, I would like that.
You would like it, but you don't want it?
I wasn't sure if I should say want. Sometimes you say don't say want.
No.
That's okay to say
Here's
I want.
Want.
That.
Wait a minute. No. Want, women want generally. Men want specifically. I want to be sexually and socially monogamous. For a man, it's I want you to be sexual and socially monogamous. Men think in specifics more than generalities. We women, I want to be married. And he says, do you have an idea of who? Well, I want a man who wants to be married and this, that. And that sounds so evasively general that men take it, you'll take anybody. You won't take anybody. You'll only take people you have chemistry for. You'll only take people that are sexually and socially monogamous. And you'll only take people that are willing to negotiate how often they'll see you, how often they'll talk to you, text you. You've got to negotiate time, space, money, and play.
Yeah, I guess I don't. Do I just say it like that? I'm just not sure how to say it and be feminine at the same time.
Well, what are you saying it to? I mean, I'm saying it as a teacher. What is he saying to you? What are you saying to him?
Yeah, I guess that was. I mean, I was saying it pretty badly, you know, just in a confused way because he kept saying, you know, do you want to make love or can we go to a hotel?
Yeah, do you want to make love? And you say, I'd love to make love as long as we're in a marriage bound. Are you marriage bound?
Yes.
Okay, if you're mating bound, that's another thing. If you're just playing around, that's another thing again. So that what you negotiate is, I'd love to make love. Are you willing to be monogamous sexually and socially? Are you willing to see me once a week and talk to me three times on the phone? Are you willing to take up dancing? This is non-sexual play. Or are you willing to, you know, make love to me once a week at least? You've got to negotiate. In my book, Getting to I Do, it's chapter 14, negotiating the boundaries of your relationship.
Oh, I like that. So I just say, are you willing to this and are you willing to that?
So that's right, but that's only if he's asked you to make love. You see, if he hasn't asked you to make love, you have no reason to ask him these questions. Let him interview you.
Yeah, he definitely asks to do that.
Well, then tell him what it takes.
Okay.
All right, but be grateful he asked.
Yeah,
all
really,
you want
really
is sex, if you're lucky. All she wants is for me to pay the bills. That's a man who's being given the daddy bill. I want you to love me better than yourself and pay for me. Okay? So be
that.
A lady and be respectful when you tell him your boundaries.
Okay. I feel like I have to practice saying it with other people. I always think we should have like a little practice Pat Allen group.
Okay.
Everybody practices
well,
saying it to each other.
Dating? Are you duty dating?
I was, but the other two like dried up.
Okay.
I have to find some more. But
all
I
right.
have him now.
Well, if you're in a relationship, he hasn't asked you to be in it yet.
No, he hasn't asked to be in a relationship.
All right. Then that's what you ask and get the answer for before you have intercourse. Because intercourse, for a woman especially, is the God moment of marriage.
Yeah.
Okay?
I'll get totally bonded.
All right. I understand that.
Well, I appreciate that so much. Thank you, guys.
You're
so
welcome.
You guys are on the air.
Thank you, caller.
Hope there's other. Thank you, guys. Okay, bye.
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 That's that premature monogamy we've talked about, Dr. Allen.
Yes, premature monogamy. Young women premenopausal have a tendency to bond oxytocin-wise because that's nature.
Exactly.
Postmenopausal women.
Oh, we've got a caller, Dr. Allen. Hey, caller, oh, you're on there with Dr. Allen live.
Awesome. Thanks for taking my call. So my question is this. I've been in a relationship for over a year. We are monogamous, continuous. We have longevity. I want to make an appointment with my boyfriend to basically say that I don't feel comfortable dating for another, like past another 2 months without a decision on whether or not we are going to get married. So my question is, how do I, what if he says, like, is that an ultimatum, or how do I do that without basically proposing to him?
You're not proposing to him. You're telling him the following. Honey, I'm going to call him, honey. Honey, I want to talk to you about our relationship. Is it convenient for you to listen to me now or when? No? Good. I have so appreciated learning to love you during this plus year. However, I'm no longer comfortable dating only. So I want to be engaged and married sometime next year, or I want to be free to date other men, find a man who wants to be married to me. And you see? So what you have to do is you have to state your general desire, which is, I love having you this long, a year, but I'm not willing or comfortable giving more time to dating. I want to be engaged with a wedding date sometime next year or when. Or I want mm-hmm. to start dating other men to find a man who wants to marry me. What do you think about this? And then he'll tell you.
Okay.
What part of that sounds like an ultimatum?
Well, I guess he knows that either he proposes or I'm going to move on, which is the truth.
I understand that. So what is the problem with you? You don't want to lose him?
Yes. It's not that I'm afraid of... I'd rather not waste years.
What?
Mm-hmm. Can I ask him what he sees as a reasonable time to make a decision?
No, dear.
No?
No, dear. That's asking him to report to mama. What I'm saying is I've enjoyed you very much, but I'm no longer comfortable with dating. See, that's a mm-hmm. general statement. I'm no longer comfortable with dating. I would be okay if I were engaged and we had a tentative plan to marry in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
But where are we going? Marriage is not designed for men. Men want right. multiple polyamorous relationships. Marriage is for women and children. When a man marries, he takes on responsibility. When women marry, they give up a lot of independence. There are women right. that do not want to marry because they want the freedom to be narcissistic, to be respectable career woman, and married with kids. So it right. works both ways for men and women. I don't mind people not marrying at all and just mating. I'm not a moralist, so if you want to hook up, hook up. But the chances of you building a long-term relationship is the quality of negotiation at the beginning of the relationship.
Yes.
Men do not like, you know, I usually say when people get married, the man walks down the aisle and prays that she'll stay the same. Passive, patient, vulnerable woman. A woman walks down the aisle, she prays he will change into a sugar daddy who wants her to be happy so bad that he'll do whatever she asks. So I teach
negotiation. That doesn't sound healthy.
What?
I said that doesn't sound healthy. So yeah, negotiating is the right way. In your book, Getting to I Do, you wrote that you should wait, when you're in kind of my position, you should wait till the discomfort level reaches like a 7 out of 10 before having this conversation. Do you still think that's the right approach? And how do you know, how much time is enough time?
It's up to your instinct, your guts were the neurotransmitters reside. You know, your guts have more neurotransmitters than your brain does. When your guts tell you you're uncomfortable, you have to speak up for yourself respectfully.
Mm-hmm.
Usually the first 3 months in a relationship are casually pleasant and people are doing it right. The second 3 months, his feminine is doing something you don't like and your masculine is doing something he doesn't like. The third 3 months, if all goes well, is you're negotiating time, space, money, and play and where this is going and where it's not going. And the fourth 3 months is when you commit to the relationship with this person because they're 51% valuable.
Yeah,
better than other deals.
Right. Yeah, he's definitely better than other deals.
Well, then,
and I don't want to jump the gun.
Is. What?
Yeah, I think my boundary is.
Are you ready to leave him because you want to be married?
Not yet.
Then take it month to month. Can you do the rest of September?
Yes.
All right, then find out what you do in October. Take it month to month. Don't be waiting for him to say, I got to be married to you. That's not the way many men operate. If they could have free wives, they'd have them. And too many women in today's world give a man a free wife, which only slows him down. Because eventually he becomes so bitchy that he doesn't want you at all.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks, Dr. Pat. I think I know, you know, when the time is right for me. It's not now. It's probably closer to 3 months from now.
All
and
right.
I will.
Then,
I'll call back and report how it goes.
Follow your instinct.
Thank you, caller.
I'll do that. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're welcome.
That level of discomfort balanced against the fear
Hello?
Of him. Oh, hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question? Hello, caller, that's you. Hello, hello.
You hear me? Can you hear
me? Yes, we can.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess my earpiece was not working. Yes, Dr. Allen, I have a question. This guy dating me is very early on, and he's a widower, and I'm just trying to see, do I want to involve myself with someone that is, because I've never dated someone that lost a wife before, and I just feel like, will I always be like in the, like she's like a martyr almost, you know what I mean? Like everyone's always like, oh, she's such a was such a great woman and this and that. And I feel like, would I always be in the shadow of this woman now that she's deceased? And I just kind of want to get your insight on dealing with a man that is a widower and he has children.
Well, she will be part of your family in an abstract way. But if she's not the boss, no, we can't move the couch because mom liked it there. Do you see what I mean?
Right.
She has to be a loved member of the family who no longer has a vote.
Okay.
But if you make her a competitor, they'll defend her.
Right, I see what you're saying.
Now, I would want your husband to say, I want to talk to you about my dead wife for about 15 minutes. How do you feel about that? I would want him to make an appointment with you because I want him to be free to talk to you about his feelings. You see?
Right, and this is so early on, like, we are not in a relationship. We're literally, you know, just starting to, I guess, date, if you will. So I'm just kind of cautious because he's only been widowed. Yeah, he's only been widowed for 2 years now. And I'm just like, is he ready? Is he on the rebound?
2 years is, if you've ever listened to my show, you know, it takes a couple of years to detox from being in love with someone. I don't care if they die on you. I don't care if they're divorcing you. I don't care if they leave you. It's still the same 2 years of grieving. So I don't see anything wrong. Here's what you have to watch out for. When he talks about her, that would be the time for you to say to him, I want to talk to you about something that's a little uncomfortable for me. Is it convenient for you to listen to me now? Yeah, what is it? I know how much you loved her, and I appreciate that, but I'm not comfortable when you spontaneously bring her up as a part of our conversation. Do you mind making an appointment with me when you want to speak of her or some other woman you dated since she died? For appointment.
And that doesn't come off as cold or me not wanting to understand. See, that's what I'm kind of struggling with. We don't sit around and talk about her, but it's just like the presence, you know, of knowing that this woman was his wife for so many
years,
you know.
This is what I'm saying. Lucky you to be with a man that had a good marriage.
Right.
The only thing I ask is etiquette. Talking about an ex-wife who happens to be dead, I want that under contract for appointment and timing. But I don't want you to ever tell him I don't want to talk about her ever, because she was and is a loved member of the family. And every stepmom hears the following: you're not my mom.
Right.
I know that, honey. I know you lost your mommy, and I appreciate your sadness. I simply want to be your stepmom so that I can help you get along in the world. I love you loving your mom. But I'm not.
Oh, I like that.
Do you see?
Okay. Right. So, I like that. Yeah. Okay. So I guess my last thing is, I see what you're saying about the appointment. He doesn't follow your teachings. I do.
He doesn't need to.
So my thing is, but just
you're
saying appointment. Right. No, I'm just saying that saying the word appointment could be off-putting. I just feel. Okay.
Find out if it's comfortable for me.
Okay, and that's not set me sounding selfish. I just don't want to come across as cold.
I do not want you to get cranky because he brings it up spontaneously.
I see. I get you. Okay, now I'm understanding. Is there any books or anything that you would recommend? Because like I said, this is such a new world to me, but I don't want to throw the potential away because I think he is a good man.
Look, he's lovable because he knows how to love and breathe. There's a wonderful book by David Buss, and it's called Dangerous Passion. And it's about the value of jealousy. If a relationship isn't territorial and jealous, it's not really in love. So if you to read about the value, you're feeling jealous of his loving his dead wife. When I want you to be grateful you have a man who knows how to love a woman, all you're asking for is the etiquette of when to discuss her and situations about her.
Right, absolutely.
And you're not competing with her for Mother of the Year. Stepmothers get a bad reputation when they compete with gone or dead mom. It's better for you to say, it's okay that you love your mom. I'm simply trying to keep the white carpet clean, and you're walking on it in muddy feet.
Right. Exactly.
Take the abstract to the practical.
I see. Yeah. I mean, I'm taking it one day at a time. I'm just, like I said, having a hard time trying to see if this is something I would want to involve myself in, dating a man that's, you know, a widower with children, even though I think his kids are adorable.
I got news for you.
But, you know.
It might take you a while to become a full-fledged family where she is part of it. But it may be worth it to you. So stay until you have evidence, like, no, we can't take down mom's pictures because it's mom. You see?
Right.
Whereas you might say, son, daughter, take the pictures into your bedroom.
Right.
It's called compromise.
How old are these kids?
There's three. So one is 18, the other one is 7, and one is 5. So. So they're young.
So
there's two of them that are young.
Is a grown up.
Yeah, and the other is a boy and a girl. Yeah, so that's the only other thing that I was thinking that I'm not saying he's looking for a mother, but he's kind of lost. Like, he even admits, like, he's lost in, like, cooking and doing all the things that his deceased wife used to do. So, and I don't mind offering advice, but I don't know. It's just one of those things that this is new territory for me.
It depends on how much chemistry attraction, how much compatibility, and how well you communicate and accept, you know, the best parts of them.
Right. And I'm willing to. I'm just being, like I said, cautious and guarding my heart with this because I know the 5-year-old is too young to know really what's going on. But the other two, you know, obviously know their mother's never coming back. You know, that type of thing.
She's not your competitor. Right. She's your colleague.
That's true. I have to look at it that way. It's just going to take some time, like you said, because I just feel like there was a whole other family there. There's still the grandparents. Her parents are still heavily involved in, obviously, their grandchildren's
Why
lives.
Not? Those
they
are
come over
grandkids.
All the time. Yeah, exactly. So that's what I'm saying. For me, not having children
you have
nor
every
ever,
right
you know,
to find him
different.
Incompatible. You have every right to turn him down.
Right. And I don't want to. I think I'm just talking myself out of it, thinking about everything that could go wrong instead of enjoying.
You know what?
We don't have problems like this. It's me kind of thinking, what if this and what if that? It's not him. It's really a lot of me. you know, thinking of these scenarios.
The people in Texas and Florida did not know the future of today, did they?
No, they didn't.
But they risked being somewhere doing something. If he's 51% valuable to you, go month to month.
Right.
And
I like
remember,
that.
You have something in common with the lady who passed away. You have feelings for him. She did too. So that's a common thing that you and her have together. Instead of
that's
competing,
true.
Instead of competing, you say, hey, you know, we love him. So.
I get what you're saying. No, I really do. I do like him, and I really do want to see what could come down the road. So I'm just going to, you know, take it day by day and see
good,
and keep coming
good,
out with
good,
these
good.
Scenarios in my head, you know, being, you know, living in someone's shadow. So, you know, I haven't been made to feel that way. So anyway, guys, thank you again for your help, and I'll keep you posted.
Good, great. Call back and update us.
Will do. Have a good night.
You too.
Thanks
for calling.
Bye.
I want to remind the men in our audience that they have the right to call. Call us and ask us for your side of the fence.
I love that. I do. I think sometimes we get a little shy.
Maybe they think we only want to talk to women. That's not true.
No, we like to talk to everybody. Hi, caller. You're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi, dear. I love you boys.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I get excited. Well, sadly, a very feminine man is dating me. I'm using your communication skills, and most of the time it's good. Now, he has an ex with a daughter. And she's alive. And she went away. She went away, and then she came back. And now she's buying her presents. And I don't say anything about it because it's not my place to say anything. But I don't know what to. He has terrible communication with her. And
wait a minute. Now she is what to him?
She had a kid with him, but they never married.
She's a baby. They call him the baby mama.
And I'm sure they have great chemistry, but because the way he is, he's very lousy at communicating. He has the four bad things about communicating.
What is that about his communication?
He's, he doesn't talk straight. He wants me to get his answers.
He's practicing the four laws.
Very
of
basic.
Evasive, secretive, condescending, and abrupt, right?
All of that. But yeah. To me, he's 51% valuable.
All right.
And I know I am bonded to him. We had intercourse with commitment, but at right this moment, I don't know. I'm not sure about his commitment. Like I said, he's giving her presents. She went away. So I remember you said men fall in love when women go away. So she went away, and it was a bad time for him because he missed his kids. I understand that. But now he's giving her presents.
Does your instinct tell you he's having intercourse with her?
No.
So what you're saying is he's literally bribing her to stay close.
Right. And I know she has deep feelings for him. The way she talks to him, like she wants to fight with him.
I understand that. But he's with
right.
you, and your instinct tells you he's not betraying you. So why not just let them duke it out as long as he doesn't make love to her physically?
I see. Thank you, Dr.
Well, I mean, what boundary can we set? We can't tell him he can't see her because she has one of his kids.
I understand.
Now, you have the right to say, I do not want a man who has kids with other women. But then again, you lose him, but you say you like him. I want you to keep him unless you have to get the doctor, a lawyer, or the police to get rid of him.
Right. Dr. Pat, I was at yoga. He said he never talked to me about like getting together. So I went to yoga. He called me, and then he said, "Where are you?" I said, "I'm at yoga. Can I call you in 2 minutes so I can get dressed?" He said, "Do whatever you want. I don't care." He hung up on me. So I felt that it wasn't a good idea to call him because he was the nice. Did I do the right thing?
Well, you called him for what reason?
No. He called me. He said, "Where are you?" I said, "I am at yoga." He said, "Can I call you back in 2 minutes? Because I'm getting dressed." And he got so upset. I don't know why. He said, "Do whatever F you want. I don't care." He hung up on me. And I was like, okay, what should I do? I decided not to call because I felt bad. Did I do the right thing?
Well, there is no right and wrong thing. He was upset because you put him in second place, and you had a right to put him in second place. Why didn't you finish the conversation? Why didn't you let... Are you mad enough at him to pick fights with him?
No, Dr. Paz, but he's very upset that I don't call him, and...
Well, you're in a committed relationship, aren't you?
Yes.
Do you call him once to his two calls?
I always call him back, always respond to him.
No, I'm not talking about calling back. I'm calling about initiating a call, 2-1.
No, I do not.
That's what he wants. He wants you to initiate one call to every two of his.
Okay, I'm willing to do that.
Okay, great. We're out of time. Okay, we have to go. Thank you, caller. Dr. Allen, what do you have to say before we run?
Well, I'm going to say my same old thing. The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is by the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
Awesome. Follow us on Facebook. Sign up for our newsletter, www.drpatallen.com. And look at our products, wantistore.com. We love you, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.